B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4 o'clock. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Well, there is a baseball season going on, at least for the time being. And then the Phillies off today. We'll play a doubleheader tomorrow against the Yankees. They're coming off a loss last night, which makes them now 1-3. And there are a lot of issues that surround the Phillies. And to get some insight on those, we go to the man who is Mr. Baseball. He is a Hall of Fame journalist and a current writer for The Athletic on Major League Baseball. Brought to us by DraftKings. He is the great Jason Stark. Hello, Jason.
Mike, what's happening, man?
Well, we're talking Sixers, and I'm trying to get people. It seems like the people here right now are tuned out on the Phillies, but I want to bring him back because there's a lot of Philly issues. So,
well, there's issues.
Yes, yep. There are issues. So first of all, I mean, covering this baseball with the COVID situation has to be very challenging for you. And of course, the big thing is whether they're going to be able to finish. So we all take this a day at a time. But you had a really interesting story with Andrew McCutchen and how angry he is about the Marlins and what they've done to the Phillies here. So tell us and tell the audience what basically his point is.
Well, he joined me and Doug Glanville in our Starkville podcast, available everywhere podcasts are sold, if you want to listen to the whole thing, for absolutely no charge. But I asked him at one point if he's angry at the Marlins. I was going to ask him if he was angry about other stuff, but I didn't have to, because he said multiple times how upset he was because his team has done nothing wrong. And he kept saying, we did nothing wrong, but we paid the price. And he's right. They lost the schedule lottery, right? The Marlins showed up in their park just as this incredible outbreak was engulfing their team. So because of that, they couldn't play for 4 days. Then they had false positive tests on a coach and a clubhouse guy, and that was 3 more days they couldn't play. And, just think about their team. Think about their season. You play 3 games. Not only do you take a week off, you can't even go to the stadium for 4 days because it's closed. And all of this at a time when they've done everything right. They've been one of the most conscientious teams about following the protocols. They've had no players test positive. The only coach turned out to be false positive. It's an outrage. And Andrew McCutchen, I give him a lot of credit. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. And a couple things, Mike. Derek Jeter did a Zoom session yesterday, and I twice tried to ask him what he would say to the Phillies players who were upset at what his team did to their team. And you'd think that'd be an easy, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Anybody who's had to pay the price for what we did, we apologize. No, he wouldn't say it.
No, he wouldn't say it, and he's sticking to the narrative. They went out for milk. And didn't go running around the bars in Atlanta, which the contrary reports had come out earlier. And he says that really it was he threw it on Major League Baseball's fault, not the Marlins, about that Sunday game.
Right. Well, for some reason he was fixated on the decision to play that game here on Sunday a week ago, and he like 3 different times. He kept saying that everybody knew. Major League Baseball knew. The Phillies knew. Everybody was in the loop. It wasn't just their players that decided to play that game. And look, there's some truth to that. Major League Baseball was aware of the testing results. They have to be. All positive tests are reported not to the team, but to MLB. So they knew. And the Phillies knew. It's still unclear exactly what they knew, but there were definitely conversations between Major League Baseball and the Phillies and the Marlins, I don't know, it looks like athletic trainer and the Phillies medical staff. It is a false narrative to a point that the Marlins just decided they're going to play. Let's play. okay?
Right.
But the fact that Derek fixated on that and not the fact that his players violated protocol and caused this incredible outbreak and disruption in the sport that, like, if I had this count right, there are now 8 teams that haven't played games because of COVID issues, 6 of them because of the Marlins. He never took responsibility for that. So that's what really frustrates these Phillies players, and particularly Andrew McCutchen. And the one other thing that Kutch talked about that I thought was important was, the competitive odds are now stacked against his team because of nothing they did. Play that series, forced not to play for a week, go to Yankee Stadium, face Garrett Cole, get hurricaned out. Now it's not even going to rain, right?
Yeah.
Now you got 7 games in 6 days against the Yankees and Braves. They could be a 3-7 or 2-8 start waiting to happen. And a lot of it has to do with the freaking Marlins.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Now, listen, I don't think the Phillies are a great team, but it is tough to restart a season and not face pitching, live pitching, and not have your pitchers face live hitters and all that. So they're kind of restarting. So this is probably going to be a rocky week for them. I get that.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. It's interesting. I used to talk to players and coaches and scouts every day. Now I talk to infectious disease experts. Okay, so I talked to one the other day who works in professional sports, and he said the sport should not operate this way, where they shut down 2 teams or a few teams, but everybody else goes on and plays. He said for health reasons and competitive integrity reasons, everybody should stop if this is what's going on. And I think the Phillies are an example of that. And that's one of the things that Andrew McCutchen said. He said that in terms of competitive balance, the Phillies versus everybody else, it's not even close. But what can they do about it?
And tell me about the performance of this commissioner who came out and kind of like threw down the gauntlet and said, get your house in order or we're going to cancel the season. What effect would that have after some of the missteps that he's made through all this?
Well, I mean, he's not totally wrong that we've seen teams not follow these protocols. Right? You just have to watch the games. So we know that teams, even inside the park, are not following the protocols, and they've got to do better. But, as my friend Ken Rosenthal wrote today, there's been a little too much they have to do better and not enough we all have to do better. Everybody needs to take responsibility for how this has gone so far. I mean, one of my big issues with the protocols from the beginning is it doesn't stipulate what teams have to do, what players have to do. It recommends it. And, Mike, you've been around a lot of players. Are players just going to follow recommendations about sit in your hotel room, never leave? I don't know.
No, they're not even going to follow hard and fast rules. So, recommendations give them an out, basically.
It does. So everybody's got to get their act together because the season's in a precarious place. And look, we need to find out if this is about whether the protocols can't possibly work, because if that's the case, then I don't know how football's going to play.
Yeah.
But you can't do this outside a bubble, or whether it's just a couple of teams that went off the rails. I said this to you last week. Cardinals are in that place now. We've got to get these answers to know whether or not it's possible to finish.
Let's talk about the team in general. They're not off to a great offensive start. Let's talk about the manager first of all, because I have not been enamored by a lot of his pitching decisions. And one of them was last night, and one was game one. I know he doesn't have a bullpen. What is he up against right now? He brings Guerra in that situation. Why not extend Arrieta one more inning? And then why Guerra when 2 lefties out of the first 3 hitters are coming up?
Yeah, I understand Arrieta, because it's been so long since he pitched. You got to be careful. And Joe's so conscious of that. It's just how he's wired. But then when you go to the pen, I feel like, remember when you used to take those surprise quizzes in school, Mike, and took all the multiple choice answers and thought, none of these can possibly be the right answer.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like in their bullpen.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right answers are. I don't know what the right choices are. I mean, when you look at bullpen usage so far, I know it's only four games, but Neris and Adam Morgan have faced a total of three batters in four games. I can't figure that out. And of the 14 appearances by this bullpen, they've had three 1-2-3 innings. Now, one of them was by Guerra, who, when he closed that opening day, I was 1-2-3 with two punch-outs. That was the Saturday, the middle game of that series.
Mm, yeah.
1-2-3 with two punch-outs. He's the only guy in the bullpen who's had an inning like that. And so, I mean, I guess I understand, let's see what happens, but it's confusing. Joe's really been good at managing his bullpen for 10 years in the big leagues. So is it about him? Or is it about who he's managing right now in that pen?
Yeah, no, I get that part of it, but like, I'm trying to like take it one step at a time, right? He's got it's Hicks, Stanton, Ford, and also okay, yeah. So he's got two lefties. So why not? If you bring Morgan in, you got. All right, so the worst Stan could do is hit a home run off a lefty. That's a solo home run. But there's two lefties that he's probably going to be effective against. Maybe he gets all three of them out, and then you can start the next inning with a righty against Sanchez and Urshela. Like, I don't understand the move he made last night.
Yeah, I don't understand it either exactly. He didn't really specifically address it after the game last night. He just said that Garrett threw the ball so well the first time through, and he felt like he matched up, but until you see this bullpen actually pitch a little bit, it's just hard to know who fits what situation. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Can we tell what they are, Jason? I mean, listen, I feared whether McCutchen was going to be effective because of the age and the injury. I don't know about Scott Kingery anymore. Hoskins doesn't look like the same player. I mean, can we make any, or is it too soon?
I don't know how you make a judgment based on the way this season is gone. They did have a good spring, right? I mean, McCutchen didn't play, so he's got to get up to game speed. But Reese would be the guy I would be the most concerned about. The last calendar year, Mike, he's hit 161 with five homers. That's in almost 250 plate appearances. 64 strikeouts, 31 hits. Now, he gets on base. He's been on base nine times in 19 trips, but his swing path is just a mess, right? And he used to work counts to get that ball he could crush, and now it just feels like he's working counts just to work counts. You never see him hit the ball the other way. He's so pull conscious now. When he hits a ball hard, doesn't it seem like he pulls it 50 feet foul? This guy was on a path to being a star, and Gabe Kapler and John Maley tried to fix something that wasn't broke, and he cannot find the swing that made him look like he was going to be a major impact middle of the order bat. You got to give everybody time, because it's been a mess.
Yeah,
but he's a big worry.
You said something real interesting there. He's working counts just to where it counts, and that to me is a confidence problem. That is a belief in your head that you can't hit, and so you're trying to avoid the aggressiveness that you usually have because you're uncertain whether you can hit, and that's a terrible thing for a hitter.
Yeah, with his swing path, they're just pitches he can't handle now.
Yeah,
right? pull conscious uppercut. No ability to take the ball the other way, right? A line of ball through the middle. Charlie Manuel tried to get him to get back to that last year, and it never happened for whatever reason.
All right, Jason, doubleheader tomorrow at the old ballpark, so we'll see what happens. Now, let me just get one last question here. This Spencer Howard situation, are they more than likely now that he'll start a game with the doubleheader situation?
Joe strongly hinted that after the game last night, said they need a starter for Sunday. And why would it not be him? All the service time worries are over. There's no worries now about innings or pitches. It's August. So Nola Wheeler tomorrow, then some version of Efflin Velasquez, then Arrieta comes back Saturday. I think you see Spencer Howard Sunday. That'll be must-see TV.
All right, it is must-see TV. How you feeling about the Sixers right now, by the way?
seen this movie before.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah, yeah. I know you're buried in baseball issues, but I know you're paying attention to this.
A lot of rain delay was very convenient last
year. Jason, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you.
You too, Mike.
All right, Jason Starr brought to us by DraftKings. Yeah, the Rhys Hoskins thing. You're taking pitches to take pitches. That is not a good sign. That is in your head. That is a confidence problem that you feel you can't hit the way you used to, so you might as well try to get on base.
Yeah.
That's not good.
And that's launch angle ruining them. And I wonder, and this goes back to the GM then. You got a guy who's seemed like a budding star. You then sign Harper. And you bring in a manager to mess up your budding star. Can't you step in and say, hey, mess with other guys, don't mess with them? Because apparently he's never gotten it back. They got in his head and now it's just gone.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is. I mean, it seemed to me that he had already a kind of a launch angle swing because he had a lot of balls in the air for home runs getting up here.
But they asked him to change a lot.
Yeah, they did. But again, it's like being a baseball hitter is really interesting because if you don't believe you can hit, you're never going to hit. And it seems to me that somewhere along the line, he hit a wall and in his head, he's going, these pitchers are better than me. And I don't know, the launch angle, whatever. If you believe you can hit and you stand up, you can't wait to get a pitch you can hit. And it looks like he's going the other way. So I feel bad for him because that confidence in a hitter, when you hit a wall and you go up there and you believe you can't hit, it's like a golfer going and standing over a putt believing you can't make that putt. It's the same kind of thing. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Tony from Temple. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Natalie, what's going on?
What's up, Tony?
I just want to take 5 seconds and let you know I love 97.5.
Thank you, buddy. Man, you saw us prominently in that game last night, by the way, with the virtual boards.
Yes, sir. That thing freaks me out, Mike. It freaks me out. They look like aliens. They're like the brother from another planet. I'm freaked out of that. That's the kind
Are you talking about the virtual fans?
Oh man, it's freaky. It's freaky.
Yeah,
Mike.
it is kind of freaky. But I think the production has been great.
Nobody looks like themselves. I prefer a cardboard cutout.
We'll talk about this later. How are they getting those virtual fans? Again, people just be at home really?
Facebook,
how are they soliciting
Instagram.
The fans? How are they collecting the fans?
They log on to like a board,
Log on yourself and be a virtual fan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's like a bulletin board. You log on and they pick you and.
Oh, all right. Okay.
It's
cool.
Freaky. Freaky, Mike. But I just want to say I love 97.5. You guys got something there. It's magical. It's mystical. You guys got, it's gold, Jerry, gold.
thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
I wanted to ask you, too. I love your station, man. Trust me. Got me through the tough times, man. Trust me. Not Mo, Larry, and Curly, though. You can't beat Mo, Larry, and Curly, but you got to through the tough times. The big four.
Yeah.
Sixers, Flyers, Eagles, and Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that the pandemic shut them down. I know there was a problem with the testing and the bubble and everything, too. I just want to ask one question. I'm going to say my four, and I want you to speak on it. Is it dust or is it rust?
With the Sixers?
Sixers, rust.
I don't think it's rust. Everybody's got the same rust. You see these teams are performing. There's something amiss, and I don't know if they have enough time to get it together.
You can't dust that off, Mike. You can't dust that. That's rust.
Nah, it's more than rust. They're the same team. That was before the pandemic.
Right,
so it's not rust. It's not like...
See what them dudes were doing during the shutdown. Only a few of them were actually keeping up with the physical.
I don't know that. I didn't live in their house. I don't know that they're out of shape. I just think that there's no blend right now with the way they play. And let's face it. There wasn't blend prior to the pandemic. When they shut it down, the sixth seed tells me there was no blend. Now, we picked on a lot of reasons for that, right? We wanted to believe there were reasons for that. But it's like, you are what you are. And they are what they are at this point. And I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that this newfangled thing in the first two games does not look like it's going to gel. So it's like, you got to stop it now. And you got to go back to giving Ben Simmons the one spot and hope somehow that something develops. Bucks lost to the Nets today. Oh my God. I guess they weren't in shape.
Yeah, they were 19-point favorites. They were down at the half, and then Bud sacked the starters, and then the backups lost. The Nets were without, but it's not really an excuse because the Nets were without their top six scores. The leading scorer today, TLC.
No, come on.
TLC today.
No, stop it.
Had 26 points to lead all scores.
Timothy Nwawu Cabarro had what?
Had 26 to lead all scores in the win.
That's impossible.
It's the Sixers no longer have the worst loss of the bubble. That's the worst loss of the bubble. They don't have DeAndre. They have no Kyrie. They have their top six scores for the net. Even if you sit your guys in the second half, they were losing at halftime.
TLC to score 26 in France.
Yeah, he scored 26.
In France. No game in France, and he ever scored 26.
5 of 7 from three.
Come on.
5 of 7 from three. And
who took over his body today?
Justin Anderson with 11 and 15 minutes off the bench for him, and including a dunk on Giannis.
Stop it.
That is now the worst loss in the bubble. 19-point favorite Bucks lose the game outright.
Not good for the psyche of Sixers fans. They're going to start pulling that
might
out.
Be the most outlandish result I've ever seen.
19-point favorite.
No, the Wawa Cabarro scored 26 points. That's impossible.
I'm not sure if that's his career high. He started at
It's got to be. I'm telling you, it's his career high for his life.
He
in a rec league in France, he wasn't scoring 26.
He was cooking when the starters were in. they were killing the starters.
How long will we take a call? See? You should have got rid of TLC. He's a promising player. 610-632-0975. Back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get an update on our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. An interesting Twitter poll because this is reflective of how Sixer fans are feeling after a win. Natalie, what do the numbers say?
That's right, Mike. Over 700 votes on this one today. Do you feel better or worse after the Sixers win last night? 23% say better. 77% say worse.
77% say worse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right. I don't know what to say at this point. I don't want to overreact, but I get this impending doom where I go, this was what they are. Like, what? How am I supposed to expect that things are going to be different and they're going to be this worthwhile contender? Tell me, Tyron, how am I going to feel that way?
You can't, but I'm trying to think that maybe the Sixers know that these games don't really matter. And they've been sometimes like that. And maybe they're semi going through the motions. And for some reason, when the playoffs happen, they'll kick it into gear and they'll be different. Outside of that, and that may be only 0.1%.
Uh-huh.
I got nothing.
But I think your first line of thinking, that slight optimism, is what we were holding on to through the entire pandemic. And we're still not getting it.
No, and this is like, I feared that.
Yeah, but these games still don't matter.
I don't know. They are what they are. I can't see that this magical, like, it's like some genie's going to pop out of a bottle and change the narrative of this team.
No.
All right. My mind is wandering now. I just saw online a picture of Shannon Elizabeth. You remember her?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever happened to her? I was a big fan. I thought she was the best in to be a star.
A mix of bad talent and bad person.
What do you mean?
She's a bad person?
Yeah.
Why?
Because her people, she had been cold for a while. And they remember the show that was on TLC called What Not to Wear?
Yeah.
Remember the commercials for that if you didn't watch the show? Her people, like her, whoever helped manage her career, put her on that show to get a makeover so that she can come off like a mammal. And she was the most evil, wretched human being in the history of Earth.
Really?
She said no to every clothing suggestion. You don't really get to choose on the show. Part of the change is if you go on the show, you bring your clothes and then they get rid of certain clothes.
Yeah.
She didn't cooperate with the clothes.
Right.
She didn't let them do makeup or hair. So literally there was no point of her going on the show. And I think they aired it just to show everybody how wretched she was as a human.
Oh, I was a big fan of that. The brunette too.
Yeah,
I mean, big fan. Actually, that whole American Pie, like if you go
cast.
Down all the cast of
yeah.
it, like where are they now? Like that other the little blonde.
Tara Reid.
No, I like Tara Reid. I know she was completely nuts, but I was a fan. But the other one that was in American Pie.
Was that
about Allison Hannigan?
No,
Allison Hannigan.
No.
The little blonde American Pie that
Mina Suvari.
She was
an American face of the year too.
Yes,
American Beauty, not American Pie. Yeah, American. She was in American Pie also, but yes. American Beauty.
Everybody except
Kevin
Allison Hannigan did.
Yeah,
went away.
Well,
so she's not. And Mina Suvari is not acting anymore.
Not much.
I'm not sure what she's doing.
Not much. She's not very active.
She's actually pretty good in American Beauty.
Yeah,
I liked her. Yeah. I like that whole cast growing up. I think it was just like they were just kind of the 90s times.
Late 90s.
Yeah,
it was tough.
Capitalized on that.
Yeah. But Allison Hannigan ended up making a bunch of money with that How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I still listen.
She's funny.
It's like one of the sponsored headline stories that's below the Brooklyn Nets Milwaukee Bucks box score.
Oh, yeah.
That's what got me thinking about.
What does it say about her?
Like when you call up something, there's always these junk website gossip things.
Yeah.
And so there's a picture of, an example. Sponsor headline. She made this much only from commercials. That girl from the AT&T commercial. What is her name? She introduced. I'm sick of her now. She's on that commercial again now. She's doing it from the pandemic. What was the character's name from the AT&T commercial? The girl from the AT&T store.
I don't remember.
Well, yeah, the AT Lily. Lily?
Yes.
Oh.
She's back on him again.
Yeah, and she's annoying.
I like her.
She annoys me.
Yeah, I like her.
She annoys me. But like that's like what's happened to her. Like they had all these little sub stories that these junk ads. Like you know, one of them is like that sexy golfer.
Oh,
Paige Spiernak.
Yeah,
you can always find like a gossipy thing like below the box score.
Well,
like I'm looking at a box score and all these junk things.
Well,
they put
you know, attractive females there for you to click on it. Yeah, that's what they do.
Well, you click on it, and the person that's in the picture, you like it's 50 slides down the road before you get to the person.
Yeah, because so they want you to go through the ads.
Yeah, yeah. It's a scam.
It is.
All right.
They gotcha.
They did. Todd in Philadelphia, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Todd.
What's up, old boy?
What's going on, Todd?
How you doing, sir?
Good, man.
Hey, Ty, Nat, a salute. You guys and Mike, I salute you also. You guys are great. And during this pandemic, you really have been good.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, buddy, I'm taking you back, Mike. Spectrum time, the old Spectrum, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How many championships have been won in the Spectrum?
How many championships have been won in the Spectrum?
Correct. Flyers got two, right?
The Flyers have two in the 70s. Yes.
Sixers have two, right?
No, the Sixers won in L.A. in 83.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't win at home.
Wow. I'll be darned. And the old ABA, Dr. J and the Nets have won, right?
Not at the Spectrum.
No.
Well, they were the Nets. They weren't. They didn't play at the Spectrum.
Where did they play?
The Nets play. The New Jersey Nets played in
Jersey.
Yeah, in Jersey. They play wherever. I don't know where their arena was.
All I did at the Spectrum, I used to go to a lot of rock concert shows at the Spectrum.
Yeah, the rock concert. Yeah, it was great for a rock concert.
All right, buddy, you hang in there, and we'll see y'all, and keep it up.
All right, Todd. That's a peculiar call.
I just wanted to talk about the Spectrum.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the Spectrum is no more, Flyers championships and more concerts than the Sixers didn't win a championship there, did they?
No.
The one they won in 60, what was it, 67?
67.
That was at Convention Hall.
Yeah, that was pre-Spectrum.
Yeah.
And then, the Sixers, technically they won it while they played their home games in the Spectrum. If they want to count that, it would be three.
Yeah.
That if you want to be Flyers 2... Sixers won. That's it. There's some memorable college games there.
Yeah,
more memorable college games and more memorable concerts than other than the Flyers winning the one Stanley Cup there. One Stanley Cup there. They won the other one in Buffalo.
Yes.
I'm just saying while they were playing their home games there, like during the existence of the building, there were three championships won total.
The Canadiens won the cup at the Spectrum.
Did they? And so did the Blackhawks.
Well, that was the
Spectrum. Forgetting.
That's the one where
Spectrum was a great arena.
I loved it.
It really was. The red seats, the red cloth seats that got worn over time and stunk.
Yeah, and were ripped.
Yeah,
it was scary up top though.
At the Spectrum.
Yeah, I felt like you could fall.
You could.
Yeah, it was
straight
steep.
Down.
Yeah, it was
it
steep.
Felt as a kid.
Yeah.
Like whether it was a game or the circus. It didn't matter. If I was up there, I was a little on edge that I would die.
Yeah. I remember trying to get concert tickets at the Spectrum, and they were the only ones available you could get. The ones where they were far from the stage. They were way in the up top, at a popular concert. By the time you got there, all the good stuff was gone.
Right.
Yeah. Honestly, all my first memories, as far back as I can think, are there.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first concert you saw at the Spectrum?
The first concert I saw at the Spectrum?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was a concert. I think it was Flyers games.
That was my first point in the Spectrum, too, a Flyers game.
Yeah.
I got tickets on the glass. I can't believe my father got tickets on the glass.
I was small enough, my dad would stand me on the seat. That's
really?
How tiny
really?
I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was the Blackhawks. I still remember. That was my first time in the Spectrum.
And it was all smoky. I just remember there was smoke everywhere.
The smoke would rise.
Yeah.
Hover up top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, let's go Greg in Philly. Greg, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Greg.
Mike.
What's up, Greg? How you doing?
All right, my friend. I wish you and your crew safe and health, man.
Well, thank you. You too.
Baseball. I was watching the Phillies and the Yankees the other night. They got their butts kicked, yes. But it's like you notice at the end, the Yankees had 8 games won and 1 game lost, and the Phillies have 1-3. Now, they have to make up all these games.
Yep.
The games they're making up are only going to be little league innings, 7.
Yeah.
And what's the sense of that? And the one thing I hate
what's
about
the sense? That benefits the Phillies with a bad bullpen.
Well, how many games are they going to have to make up in a row now?
Well, it is what it is.
But
the 7-inning doubleheaders, I actually think, help them.
I just don't think it's baseball. It's like little league baseball. And then you got this thing where they're using...
Well, it's a COVID world, though, bro. You got to be flexible.
Well, I understand.
You got to change some things up.
Well, what about the designated hitter? You got to change that. That's the only separation between the National and American League.
Well, they got the DH now.
I don't want it. I want to keep the National League where they are.
You're an old school guy, but changes down the road. The DH is going to be a permanent part of the National League.
That's what they're saying, and that's why I'm calling. What separates National League and American League if they both had the designated hitter?
Well, why do we have to separate it? What's the big deal? You're making the game better in the National League with the DH.
Think it's more of a challenge if you have it the way it is, because when you get to the series and all, you have to play the rules of that stadium.
Hold on a second. I'm gonna change your mind here, Greg.
Okay.
Why do you want to see a pitcher hit?
Because we have some good pitchers hitting.
No, you don't have any good pitchers. There's no such thing as a good hitting pitcher. Why do you want to see a pitcher hit?
It's the game.
We're talking about entertainment now. It's 2020. You got to keep people interested. No one today wants to see a pitcher hit. Nobody.
Well, what you're saying, it's no longer a sport. It's a business.
No, you're making the sport better by making it more offensive. You don't have to worry about having an automatic out in your lineup. Why do you want that anymore?
Because it's not our rules. We had these.
How old of a man are you, Greg?
64.
All right. Well, you're too young to be thinking like this.
No, dude.
Yes, you are. You're too young to be thinking. It's 2020. There's no need for a pitcher to hit anymore.
No, not right.
Not right. Why isn't it right? There's no benefit to having the pitcher hitting the lineup anymore. It's 2020. We're past that now. You can't even make an argument that it's tradition, because tradition doesn't help the game in this situation. It just doesn't. Pitchers don't go through the minor league system hitting. So when they get to the major league, it's more of an out. It's a joke. Enough. See? I'm adaptable.
I agree with you.
I'm adaptable. And I'm a traditionalist.
You are.
610-632-0975 is how you get in. South Powell 515. Don't go away.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it is the Mike Missinelli Show. Sal Powell in the 5 o'clock hour talking some football issues. And now you got me thinking about the spectrum and the concerts. Yeah, so I did a little research. You're the first concert at the spectrum.
Who was it?
Was December 6th, 1968. Steppenwolf.
Oh.
Huh. How about that?
We love Steppenwolf on this show.
Yes, we do. And you ready? Let me just read. Here it is. Here's the spectrum. They debuted their concerts. Steppenwolf, Sly and the Family Stone.
That's nice. Strong.
The Grateful Dead.
Oh.
Iron Butterfly in a God of Davida.
That's pretty cool.
Wow.
Creedence Clearwater Revival. Cream. The Chambers Brothers. Time. Big Brother and the Holding Company.
Yes.
Vanilla Fudge.
Really?
You remember Vanilla Fudge?
Yeah, a little bit.
Vanilla Fudge. They had two hits. One was Season of the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, they did a remake of the Supreme song. Keep Me Hanging On. In a psychedelic rock version.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
You Keep Me Hanging On.
I've never heard that one.
Moby Grape, which I know nothing about, said that they were a San Francisco weirdo psychedelic rock band.
No.
And then they go Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
A little jazz.
Then the Beach Boys come to town.
That's pretty good.
So the Beach Boys were my first concert, but it was on the Parkway.
You got the Kokomo version.
Of the Beach Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Stamos was there. It was amazing. Yeah,
oh, boo, my God.
Terrible.
These names are unbelievable. Joan Baez in 71, 10 years after that band that had Alvin Lee as the guitar player. It was like one of the premier guitar players. The band... Isaac Hayes,
ooh.
Grand Funk Railroad with Rod Stewart, Eric Burdon, and War.
And War?
Yes.
War is with the old man.
Yes. The Moody Blues with Van Morrison.
Look at that. See, you don't get that anymore.
No, I was just going to say that.
That kind of pairing?
Yeah.
Chicago with the Allman Brothers.
Wow.
You get a lot of guitar on that one.
Rod Stewart and Poco.
Yeah.
Tom Jones and Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jethro Tull coming in. The Who with James Gang.
Nice.
Wow. Wow. Spectrum had them all.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, my gosh. Crosby, Stills, and Nash in 1970.
Oh.
Ray Charles with Roberta Flack.
Ray Charles with Roberta Flack. Yes. That's fantastic.
Zeppelin in 1970.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The Jefferson Airplane. Man.
What a time.
Say, what? This is classic.
Talking about smoke in that building. Some of those concerts, it had to be filled with smoke. Like Jefferson Airplane, there's no way you went to that concert.
That's insane. Those names back in the day. Petula Clark came to town. Remember her?
Yeah.
Downtown.
Oh,
all these names are fantastic.
What a
history does Spectrum have for concerts?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Phil in Brookhaven, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Phil?
Listening to you talk about concerts, I practically lost my train of thought on sports. I think my first concert was Alice Cooper in the early 70s.
Wow, that would have been one of the classics. There's Pink Floyd coming to town in 72. Wow.
Yeah, back then there was a good concert every couple months, it seemed like.
It really is. I mean, you see this lineup. I mean, you go back in time. I can't even remember that all these great acts have played here.
I hear you. But I called to talk about the Sixers, and I think most people would agree that to win a championship, you need talent and you need chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, chemistry left town with Jimmy Butler. I know he didn't want to be here, and my question is why? I never got the story on why he didn't want to re-sign here.
Well, I don't think he jived with the coach at all. And plus, he just wanted to be a glam. He wanted to be a glam star in a glam city, and Miami was fit the bill for him.
He would have been loved in Philadelphia.
I like Jimmy Butler too. He's a bit of a kook, but I like the way he competes. I agree, man.
Yeah, he was my favorite Sixer.
All right, now I'm looking at your Alice Cooper concert, March 8th of 1973. Alice Cooper played two straight dates. Were you at one of those?
Yes.
All right. There you go. Alice Cooper. How about a couple? Twin bill for Alice Cooper. Selling that to Spectrum.
We're not worthy.
Had to add a second show.
Yeah, a second show for Alice Cooper.
Always wonder, though, why Billy Joel was the one with the most sellouts.
Billy Joel. He has, like, mass appeal.
And Springsteen, obviously.
Also mass appeal.
Well, he does have mass appeal.
Joel.
Yeah, he has mass appeal.
Yeah.
Big crossover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wish he... I don't know about 80s Joel.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
I have to look at when the cutoff was. I got to find the album. Where it's fine, and then all of a sudden it's not so fine.
And then it takes a nosedive.
Like, I don't need The Longest Time.
Really?
At all.
Why?
Because it's garbage.
It's nice.
I don't need that version of Billy Joel at all.
I've been waiting, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big Joel fan either. I mean, I think he's really a good songwriter.
Yeah,
he writes a lot of good.
He's a Hall of Famer. I'm just saying there was a cutoff where it got a little too syrupy.
Yeah,
and I don't need that version of Joel anymore.
Yeah, I got you. I hear you. All right, 5 o'clock hours ahead features Sal Pal. Mike Mussinelli Show is on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.